good to have him up on a platform singing his heart out. Hallelujah. It's time for our children's church to be dismissed. Amen. They'll be going in the back and having a great time in the name of the Lord. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about something that's been on my heart since the beginning of the week. I've seen quite a few things this week, and it's been amazing to watch. And I've sat back and I've tried to pray for different folks and situations. And the Lord says that we live in a time of where we have allowed ourselves to become all mixed up. There's confusion. There's many words that's being said. We don't know what we're eating sometimes. Now, I have to stop, and I hate to do this, but I want to do it. There's a gentleman that went and visited an elderly lady in a nursing home, and he looked down and he saw a bowl of peanuts there, and he says, I haven't had lunch yet, and I'm praying for this lady, and ma'am, would you mind if I had a few of these peanuts? And she says, you go right ahead, son. So he grabbed a few nuts and he threw them in his mouth, and she said, yep. She goes, ever since I had false teeth, all I do is suck the chocolate off now and put them in the bowl. Oh my, we don't understand sometimes in life. We put things into our lives that we don't know what happened to them, where it came from. Do we realize that sometimes we have mixed up our Christian life? We've had ourselves caught up with it. There's so many different things being pumped out of the media these days, and people are taking a little bit of that and a little bit of this and putting some of that in there and putting, oh yes, the Bible will take some of that too, and we'll take some of what mom said and what our brother said, and we're mixing it all up, and we're just doing what seems right unto a man. And then the word says there's a way that seems right unto a man, and in the end leads to death. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know when the Word is being spoken? Do you know that it burns into our hearts and minds? Do we know the Word of God? There we go. It's coming. Do we read the Word of God? Or do we just take suggestions of what other people say is right? You're going to hear from my first pastor here at this church, Brother Ernie, in a couple of weeks. And I'm here to tell you one of the things that stood out and absolutely changed my opinion about going to church and preachers. You see, because somewhere along the line, we just kind of went, I was a kid, went to church, you sit there, and you go to Sunday school and you learn stuff, and you kind of sit there, and whatever the preacher said was truth. But along my journey, I found out that sometimes preachers don't always tell the truth. Uh-oh. Along my journey, I started realizing that there's some stuff out there that's not necessarily truth. And I said, uh-oh. And then this is what Brother Ernie made this statement. I've used this many times from this platform. I heard him say it. He says, don't believe something because I say it. Go back and research it and make sure that the Word of God says it. From that day forth, my life changed. My life changed. I was like, what? Really? And unbelievably, something happened. I started going back and reading my Bible. Imagine that. Could you imagine folks actually reading their Bibles? So I started reading my Bible, and all of a sudden I found myself saying this over and over again. I said, wow, I never knew it said that. Have you ever been reading and realized that it says a lot that we don't understand? It says things, and as we journey in our Christian life, we start realizing that, wow, God, I never realized that I was doing this incorrectly. Have you ever found out that Jesus brings correction to your life? He brings direction to your life. We heard that in the prophecy. God wants to bring His Word to us. And in the process of praying, I said these words, let the Word burn in your heart. And I thought of the two disciples that were walking after Jesus' crucifixion. And when He came back and He appeared to Him, and they didn't recognize Him. And sometimes Jesus appears in our life and we don't recognize the way He's working or the way He's saying something today. And all of a sudden, the Word of God starts coming in. And when the Word of God starts coming in, you start burning in your heart. Did our hearts not burn within us when He spoke? And the Word of God should be that way. This is so important for us to get. When we read the Word of God, I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it because too many of us read a chapter, read a verse, read a book, and we just reading. Allow yourself to be prepared to receive what God has in store for you in the written Word of God. Because if we will prepare and if we'll get ready for what He has in store for us, how many of you know the Word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. And when we study and read and understand that the Word of God is living and it's true, it is the bread of life. It's what we need to be sustained in our day to day, by day, by day walk, our journey. There's so many folks that are depressed and frustrated and mean and mad and plain and disillusioned and in turmoil. And I'm like, what the heck is going on in our world today? Everybody's mad. Sometimes I am a Facebook person, by the way. If you know that, you'll see a lot of, I post a lot of stuff. And I just put on there, why are you so mad? why are you angry? I just post stuff like that, just questions like, what the heck is going on in people's lives? Can't we have the joy of the Lord in our life? Don't we understand that we need to be kind to one another and learn how to love one another and deal with situations when they come up? If somebody offends you, guess what? Forgive them. Amen? Can you say forgive them? And look at your neighbor and say, we got to forgive them. Yes, we got to forgive them. If they offended you, okay, you got offended. Say, I'm sorry. Get past it and say, let's go. Marriages are breaking up. Probably people are angry at each other because they won't say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me because I did whatever. And it's time for us to learn to be like Jesus. Amen. That's where the joy comes in. That's where we understand that our lives are mixed up. We got all kind of different things involved in trying to figure this stuff out. Do you just want other people's suggestions? Do you just say, oh, well, God knows my heart? No, let's go ahead and say, I am sorry, and get forgiven or forgive or whatever needs to take place. Many of us have a mixed up sense of life itself. How many of you know there's a lot of mixed up people in this world right now? Do you look around and see what's going on? It's sort of like the old gumbo, they put a bunch of stuff in it and it all looks good. I mean, actually, gumbo looks pretty bad, but it tastes really good, amen? But sometimes we're just mixing stuff in and let it taste good to our taste buds in our life, and we're happy until things are accountable. Then all of a sudden you found out that there's a problem with the gumbo. There's a problem with the things. We've taken worldly advice again. We're taking mom's advice. We go in the Bible, pull out five scriptures that we really like. How many of you know it's a complete thing? It's a complete Bible. It is a complete Word of God. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and teaching and rebuke and reproof. So I'm here to tell you, get ready to allow the Word of God to bring you to a place of, say, truth. We don't need to just take everybody's stuff and try to make something taste good. Too many times we're trying to worry about what it tastes like in our life. Well, sometimes you have to go through some situations that's not very pleasant. Amen? Somebody say amen? Watch this, but there's poison in that mixture. This is what we're going to get to in a few minutes. There's death in the cup, in the pot. There's a step-by-step that God wants to bring us into to get us further away from the death. How many of you know that God's got a plan, and He's got a mixture, and He's got some stuff going on in your life, and you're wondering why, but God's got a plan. Say He's got a plan. The Bible says in Jeremiah 51 and 40, I will bring them down like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, sometimes if you get so caught up in running away, God's going to say, hey, guess what? Let me get your attention. Have you ever had God get your attention? He just pulls it right out from under you. Watch this. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, it says it like this. When I was a child. Excuse me. Just a minute. A big old breath of air and sucked in a bug or something. Maybe it was one of them peanuts, man. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and I understood as a child, though I was and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, say man, I put away childish things. For the women in here, when I was an adult, okay, we just get into that point. All right, when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Say in part. You see, because sometimes people think we got it all together. But then I shall be known just as I am known. Now, this is the question I have for you with this scripture. How are you known? What do people say about you? Not what you think they're saying, but truly, what do you think they are saying? Do they say that? Well, I'll just go off of that. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says it like this. There is a way that seems right unto a man. I've repeated that earlier. But in the end is a way of death. Even laughter, the heart may sorrow. And the end of mere laughter, it's laughter, may be grief. So the backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways. The backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways. Sort of like back to that scripture that said, there's a way that seems right unto a man. So the backslider was going to say, oh, it's okay. God knows my heart. But a good man, watch this, will be satisfied from above. How many of you know God wants to bring you have some peace and love in your life and satisfaction? When you're in his presence is fullness of joy. And when we're doing things right, how many of you know, it is so cool to be in God's presence. Have you been in God's presence even this morning? Did you come into the Holy of Holies? Did you touch the throne of God? Did you see what he's done already in your life? The minute we reach up and start realizing that he is holy and he is above all things, when we reach through the stuff, the crowd, and touch the hem of his garment, when we come into his place and we touch him and all of a sudden the chaff gets... burned away. And all the cares and all the worries and all the problems, just for a minute, is gone. And we can start afresh. But too many of us will walk out of here this morning and pick up stuff on the way back out. We'll pick up that little problem. We'll pick up this issue. We'll think about that some more. We'll have problems. How many of you know God wants to relieve you of all of those issues and all of those problems? Now, not to say that you shouldn't take responsibility and do what needs to be done. It's not what I'm saying. But you should not have fear, worry, and doubt, because that's not from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He wants to bless you this morning, and he wants to encourage you, and he wants to bring you to a place of understanding. Watch this. But the simple believe every word, but the prudent consider well his steps. The prudent considers your step. We need to consider how we're walking in our day-to-day life. Don't just do things for doing things' sake. Realize that you have a purpose and a destiny, and there's people that are watching every move you make. Can you say amen? And they're wanting to, we need to be the example. Think about this. Think about what God's doing. Think about what you're doing. I had an issue this week. Have you ever had issues? Watch this. I pulled in Walmart parking lot. Here we go. I pulled in Walmart parking lot, and there's this car stopped in the middle of the lane. And there's two teenagers standing on the side of the car talking. So I stop. I say, okay, I'll give them a second, and then they'll. And now I'm like, okay. All right, I'm getting a little. You're going to have to move now. All right, so I bop. Now this guy is about 6 foot tall. But he's about 15 years old. Little punk. A young man, tall. And he looks at me and goes, and I'm thinking, oh, you didn't. You didn't just do that. I think I'm going to get out and slap some sense into you. And then as I started to pull up in the parking lot, I stopped. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit.
said, Tyrone, stop. Don't do it. You're going to go to jail for slapping a 15-year-old. Won't be in church preaching this Sunday. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. You can't just do things that you used to do. You have to stop and think about it. Man, you don't know how bad I wanted to pull that car over. We got to stop and think about what's going on. Of course, then I had to say something. And then he cussed me out. And I'm like, no. Carol's like, drive on. Then Jesus spoke to, watch this. Listen to this. John chapter 8. Then Jesus, don't be a fool in rage and self-confidence. That's the next. Be a wise and fear depart from evil. But a fool rages in self-confidence. I was raging. I mean, have y'all ever rage? Anybody ever have a rage? I just need to see if I'm in the right place. Okay. All right. Let it go. Say let it go. Listen to this. John chapter 8 and 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, say follow me, shall not walk in darkness. You know, whenever we're following Jesus and we have the right mentality and the right mindset, all of a sudden when the opportunity comes to do something stupid, say stupid. Y'all was weak there. When you have an opportunity to do something stupid, say stupid. You'll say, no, Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus, for giving me insight and wisdom from above. How many of you know He knows all things? And say, let it go. You shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God's going to show you the way out. He's going to show you the direction that you don't have to follow what the rest of the world would do. You see, because we live in a society that it's unbelievable the things that goes on. Have you ever just sat back and watched the evening news and said, what the heck is going on? What? Unbelievable the things that's going on that we, and there's so much hatred and stirring up of stuff, and oh my gosh, it's time for us to start praying for our friends, our enemies, our neighbors, our family, and our leaders. Hallelujah. Have we taken the truth of God's word and interpreted it to mean something that it didn't mean? Have we taken the truth of God's word and tried to make it to something that we can agree with? Or are we just using it as the truth it is and saying, Lord, I'm repenting from where I have fallen short. It says it in the book of Proverbs. David says, examine me and see if there's any wicked way in me. How many of you know it's time for us to tell the Lord to examine me? Say, examine me, Lord. And when we ask God to start doing that, all of a sudden you start seeing the things that we have made mistakes along the journey. Have you taken the truth of God's word and made it something we could agree with? Or do we just do what's right? Have we made a connection yet in our life that realizing that there's consequences to sin? Have we made the connection that when things are not working out in our life, have we made the connection yet of when there's no peace or joy in our heart? Have we made the connection yet that there's something not satisfying in our Christian life? Have you made the connection of maybe there's a spiritual problem we are having? Maybe we're doing something wrong. Amen? Can we do that? Can we examine ourselves and say, Lord, show me where I'm falling short? And then the joy of the Lord comes. This is what the word says, you know, when you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. So as we're drawing near to God, He starts showing us and giving us understanding and revelation and guidance. You can't just, too many times, it's so sad today to watch people in churches and all over the place. They're thinking that they can get that special anointing, get that special, oh, give me some oil. Oh, let me have the, and oh, sprinkle some holy water on me. And oh, if you say that prayer and shake my head 15 more times, it's all going to fall out. All that sin's just going to fall out. No, it's going to take diligence on our part on the word repentance. Say repentance. It's going to take diligence on our part to repent and seek God's face and know that we have to change. Did you hear the word this morning in the first song? Change! We got to change. We can't stay the same. God, He loves you so much. He loves you, but He also wants us to say, come on, it's time. Say, it's time. If you're not satisfied, if you're going through a famine in your spiritual life, I'm here to tell you this morning this word for you. Sometimes we really just don't get it. We don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm around us because we're not focusing, or we're not praying, or we're just complaining to the Lord instead of praying to the Lord. Lord, I want this, I want that, I want the other. Lord, I need this, I need that, I need the other. Lord, I want you to heal this person, fix this, fix. Give me some more money in my bank. Lord, I just need... And too many times we get caught up in just the wrong relationship with Jesus. How many of you know it's about a relationship? I mean, He wants to dine with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk seriously right to your heart and say, you know what? You got some issues. And when we get close to God and we start seeing our issues, then we quit looking around at everybody else's issues and we start wanting to work on ourselves. Amen? We start wanting to fix the things where we're falling short. Too many times it blows my mind, and I can usually tell when somebody's really got some problems in their life, because then they start telling me all about Brother Bob. Or they start telling me about, you know, Jenny Luke. Did you see what she did? You know? And then I was like, oh my goodness, I wish people would stop that and just say, hey, guess what? Let's pray for Bob. And okay, let's do that. Oh, Lord, I just wish that you would get... And it depends on how you pray. Amen? How many of you know we got to be careful what we ask for? It's about knowing that we will reap what we sow in life. And you're not receiving a spiritual blessing because we're not sowing a spiritual seed. We're not receiving the joy of the Lord because we're not giving the joy of the Lord to anybody else. We're not receiving because of the things we are sowing. Say sowing. I love that little story I heard a long time ago where people say, well, we have sowed a lot of bad things in life and then we pray for a crop failure. I'm here to tell you, yeah, you might want to pray for that crop failure. And God can and has done it in the past, okay? He has, you know, ripped people right up out of the problems and set them. But not all the time. Sometimes we have to reap what we've sowed. Can you be forgiven? Absolutely. 100% forgiven. God is faithful. He can forgive you. But if you keep going, and if you keep going, and if you keep going, guess what? God's going to say, well, you know, I winked at sin for a season. And then there comes a time to harvest. What are we harvesting? Do we realize that there's a famine in the land? Many of us are going through a famine in our land. Pastor, do you know we are in a spiritual famine? How do I get out? How do you know when you're in a spiritual famine? Well, you're spiritually hungry, for one, because you're not being satisfied with the Spirit of God. Not that you should not always be spiritually hungry, but you're really hungry. You're not malnourished so much so that there is a famine. Nothing we do satisfies. We keep trying this and we trying that. But it's not satisfying us because we're not spiritually connected. Say connected. And we're blaming everyone else for our problem. It's so amazing to me how I can talk to folks and they'll start telling me right away about somebody else's problem. Well, I got this situation and it's because this person's doing this, this, and this. No, it's our responsibility to make the corrections in our life. Amen? We've got to learn that, it says quite a few people that read their Bible daily, that quote Scripture daily, that pray daily, and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What? How can that possibly be? How many of you know, don't raise your hand, how many of you know some people that read, they pray, they can quote Scripture, it seems like they got it, and yet there's dissatisfaction, there's misery, there's turmoil in their heart and in their mind, it blows me away how people can get so caught up into the Word of God and not realize the heart of God. How could you possibly not have a heart after God when you start reading the Word and the Word starts going, wow, did you see that? You see, the Bible says it like this, where there's no revelation, the people perish. See, the Lord wants to give us revelation. He wants to bring understanding to His Word. When we study it and when we learn it, It's not just about knowing it. I know people that can quote scripture and they're living in sin. I mean living in sin. I don't mean just, you know, have a sin. No, they are living every day. Every day they're functioning, they're practicing sinful things. What's wrong with your mind? What's wrong with our mind when we've got death in the pot? There's death in the pot. We've mixed too much stuff up. I know quite a few people that can do all of these things, and it's amazing. My conclusion is they don't really know Jesus. What? How could it possibly be? Well, I don't know, but I'll just quote a scripture for you real quick. I mean, oh, wait, no, I'm not there yet. I'm going to quote a scripture in a minute that's going to let you know about that. They don't know Jesus. They're working for it. They're working hard at it. They're doing what they think they need to do, but they have no relationship with God. Do you realize we need to walk with Jesus? Do you realize we need to talk with Jesus? Do you realize we need to spend some high quality time learning the Word of God, communing with Him, eating, drinking with the Father? How many of you know when you spend time with Jesus like that, you get to know the Father's heart? That's why this is not a direction, but I do believe that this revival coming up in the next couple of weeks is a revival of the heart. There's some folks that need a heart transplant. Just talking to somebody this morning, I think it was Adam, he was telling me about a young man, 40 years old or something, had a heart attack. 35 years old, had a heart attack. We need revival in our hearts. Amen. There's too many of us that are just living on life support. I'm here to tell you it's time to repent. It's time to do things right. Amen. Say do it right. Watch this. Matthew chapter 7 and 21. Now everyone who says to me, here it is. I'm back at the scripture now. You ready? Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, say does. He who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Did I not go to church? Did I not sit in the front pew? Did I not prophesy? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not pray for the sick? Did I not see things done in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. What? How many times people come and they're expecting something out of Jesus that Jesus was never expecting to give us. We just wanting to see gifts and miracles and ooh, and tongues and oh, healing and ooh, and play the game of church. And I'm here to tell you, too many times we have played games with God, and it's time to stop playing the games. Watch this. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who say practice. You see, because that's the word right there. I love that word. I love that word. Say, I love it. I love the word practice. When we get the word practice and the understanding, then each day and every day when we wake up, say, Lord, help me to practice to be a Christian. How many of you know there's a lot of doctors practicing to be doctors? And they already got their doctorate degree. But they say they're practicing medicine. Amen? So we've got to learn how to practice our Christianity. That means start doing it. Try it. Do it. Do what you can. You're going to make some mistakes. Will you make mistakes? How many of you know you will make some mistakes? Let me just say it like this. How about that? How many of you have never made mistakes in your practice in your Christianity? Anybody? Okay. You see, that's what it's about. It's about practicing each and every day. How do you get good at something? Practice. How do you become a great football player? Practice. How do you become a great baseball player? Practice. How do you become a great basketball? Whatever the sport is. How do you become great? Practice. Say practice. You see, too many of us don't want to practice. We don't want to practice. Practicing takes effort. Practicing takes work. Practicing takes reading. Practicing takes, well, you know, brother, I'm just going to pray for you. Is that all right? You just start praying for people. You know what? You don't have to fix them. How many of you know you don't have to fix them? I mean, it's such a release of your Christianity. It's such a release of your the pressure on you if you're thinking you got to heal them. You don't have to fix anybody. The only thing you're required to do is say, pray for them. You pray for them and God's going to work when He's ready to work. How many of you know He's sovereign? Has He done things for you that blew you away when you wasn't expecting? And have you tried to crank up God and say, come on, God, let's crank it up. Let me get this. You ever see these old like generator things that you crank up and you turn and turn and turn and all of a sudden it starts getting this little light and it's coming on. And the harder you crank. Well, sometimes I think people think Christianity like that. If I just get all excited enough, if I get all worked up enough, then when I lay hands on him, sparks are going to come and he's going to be healed in Jesus' name. How many of you know it's about Jesus? Our job is to pray. It's not about how much excitement you can stir up. And now, I have to say honestly, when God starts moving, there is an excitement about what God is doing. There's nothing wrong with the excitement. But if you're just trying to create the excitement to see the move of God, then it doesn't work that way. When we get ready to watch God move, we prepare ourselves. We do read and we study and we prepare our hearts. And then we say the prayer of faith. And then we say, God, it's up to you now. How many of you know it was up to him all along anyway? I love it. Well, we don't know what else to do, so let's pray. What? How about let's pray first? Let's get ready for what God wants to do. Amen? We're all mixed up. Do we know that God is doing something awesome? John chapter 6 and verse 50 says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. How many of you know God is the bread of life? It's time for us to learn how to eat the bread of life. Are we all mixed up? Do we have anxiety in our heart and mind? Are we in two? Anxiety, the proverb says, anxiety in the heart of a man brings him down. So if you're getting all this anxiety going on, that's the devil. He's trying to bring you down. He's trying to mess up your life. Let's look at some folks. I want to look at a story this morning, and it's going to be in the book of 2 Kings. And it's about a guy that he was a prophet. His name's Elijah. And God wants to work a miracle in their midst. Amen. And there's a pot that they're getting ready to serve the people with. And there was death in the pot. And God told his people before this, he says, if you depart from me and if you go away and go after other gods, there will be famine in the land. Now, when we start mixing all of this other stuff into our Christian beliefs and walk, all of a sudden we're going to find ourselves in a famine. There's going to be a hunger that's not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be able to accomplish what your spiritual man wants. There'll be a void because we're not giving him Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to supply all your needs according to his riches. God told his people that if you depart from me, you start going after other guys, there'll be a famine there. So there, we have to come to the spiritual understanding and reasoning that there's a social dilemma today that many of us do not connect it with what's going on in our spirit. We thinking that it's the president's fault. It's their fault. It's the Republic. It's the Democrat. And we're getting caught up in the midst of all that stuff. And I'm here to tell you, how many of you know Jesus is in control? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the president of presidents for our sake, for our understanding. We need to know that there's not just an automatic connection to Jesus when you decide to go to church. Yes, there is a connection once you say, Lord, I want to follow you and I surrender and I repent and I want to make things right. Jesus reaches into our heart and saves our soul. But then sometimes too many of us just think that that's it. I'm done. I'm finished. That's all I got to do. And yes, you're saved, but I'm here to tell you that if you don't start walking right, you'll suffer, you'll struggle, you'll be in turmoil, you'll have problems, there'll be a famine in your land. How many of you know that there's a famine in our land today? Huh? Many of us don't see the problems that stems from a spiritual issue. We've got to pray off the demonic activity. We got to pray away. I love the prayer we had this morning here. Lord, before any little foxes that's going to spoil the vine, Lord, we pray against all of these things and we cast them out. We say, be gone. Say, be gone. Be gone. in Jesus' name, it's time for us to not only clean our spiritual house, but maybe our own household house and get rid of some stuff that we know, say I know, that's tearing me down, that's pulling me down. We've got to throw some stuff out. We've got to get rid of stuff in our natural house and in our spiritual house. We've got to start realizing that God wants to bring us life, the bread of life, into our death, pot of death. There's something missing. There's something wrong. We're trying to fill the emptiness. We're trying to blame other people. I love this when I hear this. It's so sad. No, I don't love it. I'm just saying it bothers me when I hear this, that people immediately, the minute something, well, it's this. Well, it's that person's fault. And it's no, we have an issue. Amen. Say, I have an issue and I need to get it corrected. And I can't blame other people because I am responsible for my own actions. Amen? Watch this. Here we go. 2 Kings. We want to talk about Elijah, and he's returning from Gilgal. And there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servants, put on a large pot of stew. How many of you know that it's time to eat? And they put on a large pot of stew for the sons of the prophets. Someone, say someone. Someone went out in the field and gathered up some herbs and found a wild vine. How many of you know that's some wild things in our life that we got to get rid of? Huh? They found this wild vine and it was gathered, and they gathered up a lap full of wild gourds. Now, if you don't know what a gourd is, it's something like a cucumber. It's sort of like a vegetable. And they cut it up. They came and they sliced it up and they put it in the pot of stew. That they don't, and they did not know, watch this, they did not know what they were. And too many times we put things in our life that we don't know what it was. We just said, well, this looks good. Maybe it'll taste good. Maybe I can get away with it. Maybe I'll put this in my life and it'll be okay. If we don't know, if the Word of God did not approve it, then leave it alone. Amen? Well, I could, you know, the Word says it like this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. Oh, we can do a lot of things, but I'm here to tell you, it's not edifying and it's not, it's going to mess you up. We can do a lot of things. And if we put death in our pot, guess what was going to happen? You know, Adam, he told Adam not to eat the apple. Guess what? He ate the apple. Death came. Did he die naturally? No. But he did that sooner or later. But what happened to his spirit? He died. And too many of us are living a dead Christian life, or a dry Christian life, or a joyless Christian life. We want to call ourselves Christian because it sounds good. But we have no evidence of it. We have no fruit of it. We're not joyful. We're not happy. We're not doing what He's called us to do. We're not practicing Christianity. But we're Christians. Oh, my goodness. I'm here to tell you this morning that God, there's death in this pot of mixing up a bunch of stuff that we're not paying attention to what's going on. We got to know what's in our pot. Amen? Say amen. Oh, you're not in trouble? Say amen. Hallelujah. I'm just letting you know that there's death in that pot. Don't keep messing with it. Don't cut up that gourd. Don't cut it up and put it in your pot. Then he served it to the men, and it happened when they ate the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there's death in the pot. Say, there's death in that pot. Oh, you didn't say it. Come on, somebody didn't say it. There's death in the pot. You see, you got to know that there's death in that pot, because if you don't know it, you're just going to keep on stirring, and then you're going to start tasting, and it's going to taste okay for a little while, but then it brings death. Oh, my goodness, you find yourself in that spiritual famine. You find yourself in trouble. You find yourself in situations. How did I get here? Say, how did I get here? Well, we reaped what we sowed. We got it, and we ended up in trouble. Here, watch this. So the prophet Elijah says, bring me some flour. Now, you know what they make with flour, right? Bread. And bring me some flour. And he put it into the pot and he said, serve it to the people and they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. How many of you know when we apply the Word of God, the bread of life, and we apply it to our life and we put it in our pot, our mixture, and realize that God's in control, and we start
taking out the old stuff, taking out the bad stuff, and allowing the bread, the flour of God, to bring the blood of Christ into our life. And we apply the blood. Say the blood. I've heard a few people telling me lately that they have not heard about the blood enough. The blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, we preach the blood of Jesus here. Amen. So if blood bothers you, sorry. That's what our whole life's all about. The blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus covers a multitude. The love of God. Say love. Love covers a multitude. God wants us to learn how to love one another. Amen. Say forgive. Love. Forgive. We need to learn how to forgive. And then we got to learn something. This is what's really cool about life today. Okay, listen up. This is where people get off balance. They try to do something too much for too quick, and then they get off balance. Say off balance. And then they're not living a balanced Christian life. And you know what? You're going to have to live. I like driving my motorbike fast. But I'm sorry. Every chance I can, I find a place that I could drive really fast. Now, I'm sorry. And I repent. But I'm here to tell you, you got to learn to have a balanced life. I go to the racetrack. I go get in a race car and go fast. I like going fast. Balance. Say balance. You got to learn to balance life. You can't get so caught up into religion that you're a miserable person. You're going to have to get some balance in your life and realize that God loves you. He saved me. I'm so sorry that He saved me, but I'm sorry that He saved me and didn't take the lead out of my foot. I wished He would have. You're right. I don't. I'm sorry. I lied again. Yeah. Bob has a problem with marbles. He likes to play marbles. That's because he's lost his. I'm sorry. Many of us need the bread of life. Let me stay focused here. We're almost done. Amen. Say he's almost done. Look at your watch. We're done. Jesus loves you, and we need Jesus in our life. We need a balanced life. We need the Word of God to restore to us. We need reviving of our heart. We need a time of refreshing. I love that song that we sung this morning, Times of Refreshing. It is so awesome to be in God's presence. This morning, He wants to restore to you the joy of the Lord, the joy of your salvation. He wants to bring you to a time of refreshing. But I'm here to tell you, it's time for us to apply the Word of God, the bread of life, in our pot and mix it in and allow ourselves to be healthy, practicing Christians. Healthy. Practicing Christians. Can you say healthy? Can you say practicing Christians? God's looking for some folks. He's looking for some folks. He's looking for some folks that will stand in the gap, that will stand up and say, here I am, Lord, use me. I don't know why you want to use me. How many of you know sometimes we don't agree with God? Lord, I don't have a whole lot to offer you, but what I have is yours. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Will you do it? If that's you, don't stand unless it's you. Stand on your feet because God wants to pour in a fresh refreshing into your heart, mind, and soul. He wants to do something for you right now. Watch this. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the days of refreshing. Lord, we thank you for the times, oh God, that we can come into your presence, Lord, and know that you have revived us. Lord, that you've refreshed us, Lord, to walk in newness of life. Lord, we won't just have newness of life, but we will practice newness of life each and every day of our life, Lord. We repent, oh God. Where we've fallen short, oh God, we ask you to forgive us, oh God. Lord, we ask you to teach us how to love one another again, oh God. Lord, that we will refuse to follow the enemy, that we will refuse to allow the destruction to come into our life. But Lord, we love you. We love you so much, God, and we ask you to burn away the chaff right now in our life, that we might walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, say Jesus' name. See, because we need to pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. Tell somebody.